Oh, I'm loyal, the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh, I'm loyal, the best of protectors, so protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program أسماء الحسنى in which we are mentioning the majestic names of Allah عز وجل. And when a believer hears these beautiful names and he mentions them, this gives him such joy and pleasure, subhanAllah, that cannot be described. And why wouldn't this be the case? Allah Jalla wa'ala himself has said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will mention you. So we are acting upon this Quranic hukam, this instruction, this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are remembering him and he will mention us. So remembering entails remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue, or it could be in the heart, doing ghor, tafakkur, pondering over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ways, and we've covered this in previous episodes as well. Inshallah, in this episode, the name we are going to mention is Ar-Raqib. Ra, Qaf, Ya, Ba, Raqib. This name has appeared in the Quran as well. What's the meaning? First of all, let us hear. There are various meanings. Let me go through them. One meaning, Huwa al-Alimul Hafiz. Raqib means the one who is all-knowing and the one who protects others. Allah is all-knowing and He is Hafiz, He is the one that protects others. And no doubt this is the case for Allah Azza wa Jalla, that none can match Him in terms of knowledge. Every bit of knowledge that we possess is through the bestower of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, He is Hafiz in that He protects everyone and none can protect like Him. And we heard in detail about how He protects when describing the name Hafiz. So in that episode, we discussed how Allah Azza wa Jal protects others, how He protects the heavens, the earth, humankind, animals, everything in creation. Now, when we think about this worldly life and how people are security people, security guards, they're tasked to protect a certain place, a certain workplace, a building, an area, they'll only be able to do so adequately if they have knowledge, meaning from which aspects can we be harmed, they neutralize that, then they can safeguard a place, protect a place. But if they have no knowledge of that, then they will be harmed. They won't be able to protect it as it ought to be protected. So without comparison, when Allah is Raqib, the one who protects, it possesses, He has both things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Alim, He's all knowledgeable, meaning all knowing, all encompassing in terms of His knowledge. He knows exactly where nuqsan can occur from prior to it even occurring. And He protects as well like no other. And in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such a beautiful system. He's put such a beautiful system in place where things are protected due to His power. For example, a human being has many angels, protecting angels with him. Some are stationed at his face, his mouth, some at his eyes, some in other parts of the body. And they protect him from various things. So, in creation, there are many things that we cannot save ourselves from unless Allah Jalla wa Ala protects us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put everything in place for us not to be harmed by those things as well. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is well aware of where harm can reach a person, through what means harm can reach a person. So He has stationed many angels, as I mentioned, just, you know, in parts of the body of a human being as well. He is Al-Alim Al-Hafiz, which is the meaning of Raqib. Our scholars have said, Wallahu ta'ala raqibun li'ibadihi, ay hafizun lahum. Allah ta'ala is raqibun li'ibadihi. What does this mean? Ay hafizun lahum. He is the one that protects His slaves. Ya'lamu ahwalahum wa ya'uddu anfasahum. Wa la yakhfa alayhi shay'un min ahwalihim. Allah ta'ala knows their states. He knows about their breaths, how many breaths they take. And nothing from a person's circumstances, his state, is hidden upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is concealed from Him. Another meaning that the ulama have given of Raqib is huwa al-muttali'u ala dhamair ash-shahidu ala as-sarair. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware, muttali' about the things that are hidden in our heart and mind. Meaning those thoughts. These things may be hidden from creation. Other people are unaware of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all about them. He witnesses them. He knows them. So al-muttali' ala dhamair ash-shahidu ala as-sarair. He knows about the secrets, the hidden aspects, the hidden things that we keep in the heart. What intentions we have, what we are thinking, all of these things are known to Allah Azza wa Jal. Some ulama have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which knows and He sees as well. And nothing, even secrets, even discreet things, the discreetest of all things, even they are not hidden upon Him. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Azza wa Jal is fully aware. And some Sufiya, rahimahumullah ta'ala, have said that unlawful gazing, lewd gazing, looking at the opposite gender with lust unlawfully, which is against the Sharia, how does one protect himself from this? And the reply they gave is that when someone is about to do so, is about to unlawfully gaze at someone, lustfully gaze at someone, look at someone, he should think to himself that even before I intended to look, even before I thought of looking at someone in this manner, Allah Azza wa Jal is fully aware. He has all knowledge of my bad intention of looking. He has all knowledge of what I'm about to do. And then he feels ashamed of himself. That how can I look then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I'm about to do this. If I do it, then that's just daring. That's a really bad thing to do. That's disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll feel ashamed. He'll feel fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is going to be written down. He'll save himself from that sin, inshallah. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, it's narrated regarding him that once he was going out of town and he saw a shepherd who was a servant, who was a slave, and he was herding the sheep. So he said to him, "Bi'ni shatan," sell me a sheep from them. He replied, "Innaha laysat li," these don't belong to me. These sheep that you see that I'm herding, they're not mine. They're my master's. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma wanted to test his piety. Allahu Akbar, wanted to test him. And he said, قُلْ أَكَلَهَا الذِّئْبُ. No need to worry. Just say to your master that a wolf came and ate the sheep. That's how you'll answer to him. When he says, why is there one sheep short, less, then you will give him this answer. And that's when the servant, the slave replied, فَقَالَ الْغُلَامُ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. He said, I will say that to my master, that a wolf came, ate one of the sheep, and that's why you have one less in quantity. فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. But where is Allah? Meaning Allah is watching. How can I hide this act from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not possible. How can I hide this act from Allah? This is not possible. This was the i'tiqad he had in his heart. Allahu Akbar. Meaning this matter will remain hidden to my master, if I were to tell him that. He will never come to know of this. This is a secret thing. This is something that if I lie to him, how is he going to ever find out? But is this thing hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will this remain hidden and discreet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. He knows before this takes place that we're even thinking of it. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Look at the belief that our Muslims of the past had. And this was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma testing that person's piety. And he passed the test with flying colors, subhanAllah. So as a reward, what did Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma do? He purchased that slave. He purchased all of the sheep. And then he gifted those sheep to that slave as well. And then he freed him as well. So whenever we do an action, or whenever we are thinking about doing an action, especially a sinful action, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of your irada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about your will, knows what you are going to do. And when a person does so, he leaves a sin due to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for any personal reason, because he knows Allah is watching. He doesn't want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for Allah, he leaves a sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with such a person. And the reward that person will receive is immense. What does the Quran say? In Surah Rahman verse 46, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. And for the one who feared standing before his Lord, جَنَّتَانَ are two gardens of paradise. Meaning if a person is afraid of appearing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, how will I answer for this sin? How will I answer for this disobedience? He is Raqib. He knows what I'm about to do. He has knowledge regarding me. And I'm going to leave sin because of all of these things. Then Jannatan, two gardens of paradise are for him. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq for the sake of this name Raqib to save ourselves from sin and transgression. Ameen. Now the second name we're going to introduce in our episode is Mujib. Meem, Jeem, Ya, and Ba. Al-Mujib. And Al-Mujib is the one who accepts the supplications and pleas of his servants, his slaves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mujib in that when we supplicate to him, when we plea, when we beg in his court, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our supplications, our pleas. And in the Quran, subhanAllah, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions this in various places. In Surah Naml, verse 62, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. And who is there who answers the muttar? Muttar here means the one who is in distress, in great worry. إِذَا دَعَاهُ, when he calls out to him. So who is that that answers the call of the one who is distressed when he calls out to him? So whenever we're in difficulty, whenever we're in a problem, we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaqeen, no doubt, he is the one who responds. As for the word muttar, to explain it a bit further, the ulama say muttar means the one who he's lost all hope from receiving any help in creation, meaning from people. He's tried to no avail. He knows only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help him, can get him out of the situation that he's in. And this person has been described as being muttar. He is very distressed. He calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala accepts his supplication. So a person could be in a very dire situation. And on top of that, he's committed many, many sins as well. Despite this, when he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that situation, Allah Jalla wa Ala accepts his supplication. Now let's listen to a narration, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from being in a place, free from direction, So in this regard, he can't be near or far, like a person can be near or far from another, or an object could be near or far from another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all of these things, free from time, free from being restricted to a place, free from limits, free from directions. We know all of this. This is our aqidah. He's free from having a body. He has qudra, power over all things. And Allah Jalla wa'ala is closer to a person than his jugular vein. Again, this is not physical closeness. This means his knowledge is close. This means he has qudra over everything. When this question was asked by the Sahaba, the verse was revealed in Surah Baqarah 186. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my slave asks you about me, then فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And indeed I am close. Meaning my knowledge, my qudra is very close to him. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي. I answer the call of the one who calls me. Whenever he calls me. I accept the call. Whenever he calls me. Whenever the da'i, meaning the one who calls out, whenever he calls me, I respond to him. I accept his prayer. In another place, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, Surah Mu'min, verse 60, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Pray to me, supplicate to me, I will accept your supplication. In the same verse of Surah Mu'min, it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُرُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Indeed, those who are arrogant from my worship, soon they will enter Jahannam in a disgraced manner. Meaning those who are arrogant from my worship, meaning they don't call out to me, they don't pray to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes such people who feel they're independent. They don't need to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have been described as yastakbirun, those who have arrogance in their hearts. Allahu Akbar. In one hadith Qudsi, it says, I show my wrath to the one who does not call out to me. Allah's ghadab reaches that person who doesn't call out to him. Now this topic of dua, ulama have written upon it extensively. So many books have been written. Just a few ahadith regarding the importance of dua. Firstly, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." That dua is the essence of worship. Ulama say that this means, from all the worships that a person carries out, the intellect, the intelligence of a person, this lies in how much he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much he supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He continues to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another hadith states, الدُعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is itself ibadah. So dua is accepted. Dua is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we place obstacles ourselves. If we've placed an obstacle in the path of that dua being accepted, then that's our fault. Let me give you an example. Ulama have said that there are three means of dua being accepted, three ways of dua being accepted. Number one, whatever you ask for, you are given it. Secondly, whatever you ask for, that asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that prevents an imminent calamity from occurring in your life due to the barakah of that dua. And thirdly, the dua is saved for you in the akhirah, the reward of that. And the hadith says, when a person sees that reward, he will wish every dua was left for the akhirah, meaning the reward was gathered for him, subhanallah. Now, what happens is, we place obstacles ourselves. There may be a person who is supplicating the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but is not abiding by the adab of dua, and therefore his dua is delayed. Let me give an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a person who is a traveler. He has disheveled hair, torn clothes, and he has all the hallmarks of someone whose du'as should be accepted, because he's presenting himself in a humble, lowly way in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He raises his hands and he says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, O Allah, O Allah, O my Lord, O my Lord. But his du'a is not fulfilled. The hadith states, even if he were to extend his hands to the heavens, it will not be accepted. Why? His food is haram, his drink is haram, his mode of transport is haram, from haram means. So how is his du'a going to be accepted? Now think about it. A person in this situation, which you normally associate with a person whose du'as are accepted, like Hajj. Allah loves that person the most in Arafat, in the days of Hajj, who meets this description. His hair is disheveled, his clothes are not the cleanest, meaning he's gone through toil, he's gone through difficulty, he's striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's broken, he's lowly, he's humble. Allah loves that person. But here in this hadith we're told, there's a person like this, he's raising his hands. Even if you were to raise him to the heavens, his dua is not going to be accepted. Why? Haram risk, haram food, haram drink, haram means of income, haram mode of transport. Allahu Akbar. How is his dua going to be accepted? So the adab of dua have to be maintained throughout. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his promise is that he will fulfill your supplications. We need to abide by the etiquettes. For this, we need knowledge about what leads to the acceptance of dua and what leads to dua being rejected. And this is from our side. We have to meet the etiquette, the adab, and inshallah, dua will be accepted. And when we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua throughout his life, from morning till evening, we should follow suit, follow the sunnah of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. Dua is an essential part of a Muslim's life. Allah give us tawfiq to always ask him abundantly, and meet the adab of asking as well. Ameen bijahin nabi al-ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors. So protect.